It's Friday the 13th. There you go, Clarkie. Friday the 13th of May. The Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. We're at Scone Race Club. Morning to everyone, wherever you're listening. And, well, Scone Cup Day today. It's been raining steadily, annoyingly, for probably 24 hours. Nothing heavy, but just that little annoying rain. Pup, great to be back up here in the Upper Hunter.
Morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. Yep. Awesome afternoon and night yesterday. Beautiful feed at the cottage. Hotel looked after us once again. Did you get your little care package? Your little bottle of wine and couple of cookies?
Outstanding. Glenn and Kel look after us.
Honestly, yep. We've been treated like gold. But yeah, nice to be here, apart from the rain. But yeah, and then speaking to a few people last night, they are pumped about today and tomorrow at the track.
Morning to you, Lozza.
Morning, boys. Yeah, great to be up here in Scone again. Hopefully the rain might stay away, although it hasn't rained particularly strongly. It's just sort of
spitting down.
Mm. But it should be a wonderful day up here for the races. Looking forward to Magic Round. Of course, you've got the Bulldogs and Knights kicking off at 6 o'clock, and then Manly taking on the Brisbane Broncos. And I think this weekend, Middo, there could be a few upsets. Mm. And I know you went out on a limb yesterday.
Oh,
you
why?
Tipped a few upsets, and I think that might be the play if you're looking to have a bet. But, yeah, a lot of these games are hard to pick. We're looking forward to the one tomorrow night, the Melbourne Storm up against Penrith. It's a shame that Ryan Pappenhausen and Remus Smith aren't there. But, you know, Penrith, they had their first loss of the season last week against the Eels. The Eels, of course, take on the Roosters on Sunday afternoon. There's some mouth-watering clashes, and it should be a wonderful week up there in a wonderful weekend, I should say, up there in Brisbane.
Why no footy last night? I missed it.
Didn't work.
I know Magic Round.
Didn't work Thursday night.
Really?
Because you want to make it a festival. You want to have two games, three games. So if you just had one last night, probably dilutes.
I missed it a lot.
Yeah, I missed it. But and there was no one that turned up. They didn't have the big crowd that they expected on the Thursday night.
Okay.
But tonight...
Yeah, monster.
At 6 o'clock kickoff. People, you know, we're at Suncorp Stadium. You leave the city, you can walk.
Friday, it's perfect.
Friday night, and then Saturday sold out. So tonight will be close to a sellout with the Broncos playing. Saturday's already sold out. And Sunday afternoon, if it's a good day, they'll get at least 40,000.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it's going to be a great weekend, and we'll sink our teeth into a few games soon. But a huge night last night, or a huge day it is today, for Australian rugby, fellas. World Cup hosting rights confirmed. So we've got the Men's World Cup 2027, the Women's in 2029. This will be the third time, obviously, hosting the Rugby World Cup. Back in 87, the initial World Cup, which we co-hosted with New Zealand. And then in 2003, and by the way, the USA was awarded hosting rights for the 2031 World Cup and the 2033 Women's World Cup. But we've got the British and Irish Lions here in 2025 as well. So a huge financial windfall is coming for a sport that, you know, let's face it, at times we've thought it's been completely on its knees. But all of a sudden, there's some light on the horizon, plenty of it, you would think. When you get the Lions coming here and then a World Cup 2 years later, that's massive for Australia.
Well, everyone was spoken to. They've said that Rugby Australia needs this, don't they? There's been so much talk about where the competition is, where rugby is in the country. We're seeing the Aussie teams obviously perform better this season. But, yeah, I think in general the sport needed a little booster or a little kick in the guts like this. So congratulations to Rugby Australia. Well done. Well deserved as well. Again, nobody would be surprised and nobody would be disappointed. There's not too many events, sporting events, that Australia doesn't do well. And you've got no doubt this will be exactly the same.
No, well, you look at what they're able to achieve out of it. Obviously, you know, it brings an economic benefit to Sydney and Australia, but the amount of money that the game will be able to generate to put back into grassroots and then obviously keep their top line players. They're talking about $100 million being pumped back into the game, which is an enormous investment. And that'll help grow participation and help them with their finances, because I think they had a war chest of, I don't know, 40, 50 million.
Yeah.
Was it 40
they
million?
Blew it.
And they blew it. And they wasted it, and that's one of the reasons why the game has been struggling, and they haven't been able to compete with the other codes in this country. So it's a big win for Australian Rugby Union. And, you know, they're coming into what looks as though it's going to be a good period for them. You can only go off what we've seen in Super Rugby this season and what they've been able to do over the last couple of weeks against the Kiwi sides. So they're you know, competing really well. They're winning games. And, you know, if we can have a strong test series against England and perform well in the Bledisloe against New Zealand this year, geez, it looks good for next year's World Cup.
Yeah.
And we'll speak to Matt Burke later this morning, Channel 10 extraordinaire and Wallaby great, and get his reaction to that fantastic news overnight. That bid team, they left no stone unturned. They had some heavy, heavy hitters involved to make sure that it got over the line. But Australia to host the World Cup in 2027. Now, big news yesterday at GWS, Leon Cameron and the club agreed, well, they agreed on Tuesday to end Cameron's 8.5-year reign there as coach of the Giants. He'll coach a final game against Carlton on Sunday. And, Loz, I think overall you've got to mark it a big positive, Leon Cameron's tenure there at the Giants, taking that club to a grand final and a couple of more prelims, one prelim in particular, that epic against the Western Bulldogs in 2016, which really could have gone either way for them. But overall, considering where that club was and where it is now as far as performances are concerned, raging success, Leon Cameron.
I think he's done a tremendous job, you know. Unfortunately, it just hadn't worked out for him this year. But take nothing away from Leon Cameron. He's done a mighty job. Took over from the great Kevin Sheedy. He's been at the club for 10 seasons. And, you know, he's been able to develop these young footballers into good young men. And, you know, there's been plenty of talent at his disposal. Unfortunately, he hasn't won a competition. But, you know, to take them to two grand finals and final series, they're hard to win. But Leon Cameron, he can walk away, his head held high. And now the race is on to find his replacement. And, you know, if you're the Giants, there's only one sort of target, and that's Alistair Clarkson. Absolutely. That's the man you've got on your radar. You've got to try and do everything in your power to try and attract him to the club. You've got to sell Sydney. You've got to sell the Giants. And you've got to sell him the team that he's working with. And, you know, I think it'd be an exciting opportunity for Clarkson to get to Sydney and take on the Swans, create a great rivalry, and that'd be great for the code here in this city.
And Clarkson has indicated that he wants to go to a club that's ready to win. He doesn't necessarily want to start, say, like Paul Roos did when he went back to Melbourne a few years ago, which ended up being very successful as well when he handed the reins to Simon Goodwin. But Clarkson just wants to have his ear off now, or, you know, hasn't indicated or given a complete indication he's going to come back next year. But with this job opening, his indication is he wants a side that can win now. And the Giants are that side, Loz. They've got so much quality.
Yeah, and I know the Giants are putting together a coaching subcommittee, and, you know, they'll work out where they want to go and what they want to do. But surely, if you're a football club, you start that conversation now before the subcommittee get together, don't you? And you just make the phone call and say, Alistair, are you interested in coming to the Giants? And if you are,
what's your price?
You are our number one target, and we want to get you to the club. What's it going to take? And then you try and do a deal as quickly as you possibly can without going through a process of, oh, rightio, we'll interview five or six people. I don't understand that sometimes when you've got a guy in your sights, he's a premiership, four-time premiership winning coach, arguably the greatest of the era.
Don't ask him to apply.
No.
And chase him.
You go and chase him. Make sure that he understands that he's the number one target. The job's his if he wants it.
And,
well, his manager, James Henderson, in Melbourne has indicated that just pretty much every club is, well, not every club, but half the AFL has contacted
him. That's fine. That's not a drama. But you go and sit down and say, listen, what's it going to take? You give me a number and we'll tell you. We'll tell you whether we can do it or not. And I would say whatever number he comes up with, the Giants
will find it.
Will be able to find it.
Yep.
And if he's keen on coming, it won't be. It won't. If he's coming to the Giants, it'll be about the list, and he will be looked after financially.
Yeah.
Speaking of coaches overseas, it has been confirmed in England, Clarkey, Brendan McCullum, great New Zealand player, of course. He's been coaching the Kolkata Knight Riders, which he'll be stepping down from at the end of this Indian Premier League because he has signed a 4-year deal to be England's new test coach. Now, he's never coached long form cricket, obviously played it, but he's going to step into the hot seat, and they've got a big summer ahead of them. Firstly, he's got his first test is going to be against New Zealand, and then they've got I think they've got that catch up match against India, and then a series against South Africa. And this England side under all sorts of pressure after a very, very poor Ashes series, a loss in the Caribbean. But new captain, new coach, a somewhat of a dream team. Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum.
Well, oh, well done to Brendan as well. Great appointment from England. I think he'll do a great job. He's a wonderful guy. He was a very good player. Aggressive captain when he played, so I'd imagine his coaching would be quite similar. 4 years, long time. So good deal from his perspective. And Test cricket only. So, yeah, look, I think only time will tell. I think you're going to see some people who will be really positive about this and will think that Ben Stokes and Brendan McCullum, their two styles are very similar in regards to the way they played the game. Aggressive approach to the game, look to take the game forward. And then there'll be the other side where people will say, is that too strong in one direction? Do you need your coach and captain to be a little bit more different and have that conversation and find the place in the middle? But, look, I think Baz will fit in fine. He's a great fella and he'll find a way to get the best out of these England players. Just that balance, really. Who's going to do the one-day job now? What is Baz's role in and around? Like, is he head coach? Does he sit above the other coach, the short form coach? Because again,
this is why
I guess for Australian cricket, I've said for a bit of time that I feel like our team now, the Australian team, probably needs the one captain across all three formats, because there's so much cricket, because there's so much short form cricket, because there's, look at this season, it's all 2020 in preparation for a T20 World Cup, and then in the blink of an eye, we go into February and it becomes really test orientated. So the one captain can actually speak to the coach, selectors, CEO even, or high performance manager and say, right, what's our plan, even if it's short-term goals, for the resting? For, okay, right now we're giving guys off test cricket, but we need them to play 2020 cricket. Or, come January, February, they've got to play every test and they can miss the short form. It's just that balance is really hard. And I think that's probably going to be England's greatest challenge, because Brendan is going to be very strong in his ways. Ben Stokes, by the sounds of it, I think has got the coach that he wanted. I know Stokes and Owen Morgan, very close. Owen Morgan and Brendan McCullum are best friends. So I think Stokes, he would have pushed to get McCullum as well. So now, if those two are getting on really well in the test series, what happens then when you go into the short form? You've got a different captain and a different coach. It's going to be an interesting balance. But I think courageous appointment, but I think good appointment for England.
How does it work as a cricket coach? I mean, in rugby league, you do a lot of video work.
Yep.
You do a lot of analysis on opposition teams, weakness, strengths, and all that type of stuff. As a cricket coach, do you sit down as a bowling group and work on how you're going to bowl a certain batsman?
Yeah.
Batters work out their techniques, or is it a lot more out there on the pitch? When you're bowling, coaches standing behind.
It's both. We do a lot of analysis. Like, you'll have somebody on that computer the whole time. So as a player, you can go and get any footage you want, but you're doing meetings regularly, bowling meeting, batting meeting, come together as a team. I think...
Too much?
Most probably over a season. But individually, you probably feel like you might, some players need more information than others as well. So that's why I think these days there's so much footage and info you can get. I think the key is to leave that door open for any player and everyone will differ. The key to a coach, I think the best cricket coach is the best man manager.
Yeah.
His job is to get the best out of all individuals.
Because I've always found the more you give someone information, the more confusing
sometimes it
makes it. And it's like, tackle technique, for instance, for us. You're trying to talk to people to get in close to target, to get your hands up, to bend late, dip, and all these type of words that you use.
Mm. Confuse people.
Tackling has to come naturally to you. If you're going in to make a tackle, and all of a sudden you're thinking about, right, oh, I've got to be in here, I've got to get my legs in tight, you can stuff them mentally
because
they start to worry about, oh, am I doing this right, instead of just it coming naturally. Because you've tackled as a kid, it's just some basic things you have to tighten up.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you haven't got that right stance, but you've still got a decent technique, if I can't fix it, you've just got to let him go with it.
Some players, and I say this with the most respect, but there used to be some players, all through my career, where you would say, their dumbness, and I mean this respectfully, is their greatest strength. So leave them alone. Don't try and fill their head with technique, structure, roots. Like, don't overcomplicate it. Just, you know, why they're such good batsmen, for example, is because they don't think about anything else. Yeah. The bowler bowls it, and they think about hitting the ball. So I think, again, each individual is very different, and that's the coach's job to work out who needs more, who needs less, who doesn't like looking at their own vision, who would rather feel it at training rather than go and sit for an hour and study their technique on a camera. So, yeah, Brendan will be he'll be faced with a lot of different challenges. There's no doubt about it. And again, straight away, I don't know how much time Baz has spent in the UK as well playing county cricket or learning the culture, the England culture. That's going to take some time as well. So I would imagine, you know, playing in England's very different to playing in Australia. I'd imagine playing in New Zealand's different again. So that's going to take some time as well. But England are struggling. They're ranked 6th in the world. They had to be courageous and make a bold decision. I think they've done that, and I think it's a good decision.
Now, we've got Adam Pengilly coming up shortly after the news, but we've got the headlines at the moment, and cups bring mix of joy, caution. He's on the back page of The Australian, the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald. We've got It's Official, Australia win right to host World Cups. And on the back page of The Telegraph, set world on fire, rugby wins another chance to shine on global stage. So if you're just tuning in, the big news overnight, it was confirmed that we are hosting the World Cup, the Men's World Cup in 2027, the Women's in 2029. And on the back page of The Australian, just the undertone there. Don't stuff it up like we did after 2003 when we blew the huge windfall that Australian rugby had. And already the CEO has come out and said, look, we're going to be obviously very careful with the way that those funds are allocated going forward after and learn the lessons of what happened in the years post-2003. But we'll have Berkey on later this morning and he'll break it down for us and what this means for Australian rugby, particularly at this point in time. But also back page of The Telegraph, Magic 8 Ball. And there's Tom Trbojevic there ahead of Manly up against Brisbane tonight. And Loz, it's a year since, it's a year anniversary for the crackdown, which yielded 14 sin bins and 3 send-offs last year. So that certainly wasn't great viewing. And on the back page of The Australian, the headline is, referees will let the magic flow.
Yeah, and I think they overreacted last year and they recalibrated towards the end of the year. I don't think anyone enjoyed what happened last year. I don't think anyone enjoyed Magic Round, given what was on display. And thankfully, they've toned it down, the referees. And, you know, I think, you know, they're learning again, you know, what's a head-eye tackle in terms of a send-off, sin bin. We can always argue about what we think should happen, but they're out there, they're under pressure to make the right decisions. Last year, they got it horribly wrong. This year, yep, you know, we could sit here and say, yeah, they should have been sent off or someone should have been in sin bin instead of being sent off. But I think overall, they've done a decent job.
Also, back page of The Australian, Clarkson on top of Giants coach wish list. And speaking before about Leon Cameron, he and the club, they've agreed to part ways after this weekend.
What do you think about that?
Farewell game? No, I think that's fine. It's big in the AFL. It's a sign of respect.
And no, resigning now? Well, they haven't... Like, not wait, like...
Oh, read what, between the lines. It's,
he's
it's
been
a,
asked.
It's a mutual decision where the club would have said, mate, it's not working. What do you think? And then, honestly, you'd say, oh, yeah, I know where this is going.
But does this transition now, does it make any difference to the Giants season? Do you think it changed? Like, by him resigning now or staying head coach until the end of the year, does it make any significant difference to their season, do you think?
Yeah, I think it would.
You think it will?
Yeah,
okay.
I think it would. If you've got a coach that's just coaching till the end and then going, and if your season is going downhill...
Get out now, you're
get out now.
Rather than finish your season.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think the players then sense, what's the point?
So then why the... And you're okay with, like, the token game now? Like,
yeah, I'm okay with that, yeah. Okay. Especially
because
someone,
he's been a long-term coach, had a lot
servant,
of success. Lot of,
yep. Your part ways, as well as you possibly can.
Okay.
I think you treat people with respect.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's how I'd operate.
Would you want...
Well, it's up to him. You'd say to the
if
Leo,
you want it,
yeah,
you've got that option.
You've got that option.
Yeah, okay.
And then it's up to the coach to decide.
But like
I think as an administrator, I think I would offer that to a coach.
Yeah, okay. Right thing to do.
Yeah, just say,
and he's earned that.
Yeah, he's been there 10 years.
Yeah, he's been brilliant.
You know, a couple of grand finals. And, you know, he's developed a lot of these young players.
He's been
players.
Pretty honest, isn't he? Through the last few weeks particularly, I think he's, well, even not re-signing start of the year and making it clear he wants to see how he feels. I think he's been pretty straight up.
I think it was last week when they played Geelong. I think in that press conference, I think he realised his time was up because he said, we played boring today.
Yeah, okay.
We played some boring football. And when you're hearing that from a coach, it's never a good sign, in particular when you've been under pressure and you need to win games.
You're the one that's the coach as well, and team's playing like that. There's some sort of accountability there as well, surely. Yeah.
So I think he knew then that his time was coming to an end.
Back page as well of the Daily Telegraph. Big story in racing yesterday. Waller's au revoir to a star. So very elegant. Wow, this is a bit of a bombshell. Will be transferred to French trainer Francis-Henri Graffard. The ownership group conceded that, well, basically at this point in her career, Very Elegant needs 2,400 metres plus to be at or near her best, and that she'll be naturally weighted out of the Cups here in Australia, the Caulfield and Melbourne Cup. So there's more options in Europe, so they're going to take it to this French trainer and potentially set her for the Arc de Triomphe later this year. 16 of 38 races she's won, 11 Group 1s, nearly $15 million in prize money, Loz, and heading to Europe. So that's a big call, isn't it, from the owners?
She's a surprise. But, you know, they're in charge of the horse. They own the horse. They can do whatever they want with her, but she's been a beauty, very elegant. She is a superstar, won the Melbourne Cup last year, but now she's got another target that she wants to try and achieve.
Cash is king, Loz.
Yeah. But, you know, it's a famous race as well. They want to try and get the best out of her, and if they think that's the best way to go, then they're entitled to make that decision.
Yeah, this will be fascinating how this plays out, because just the wider implications for Australian racing and the fact that, well, basically the owners are coming out and saying there's not enough races for her. You know, hint, hint, nudge, nudge, can we do something about this? But all our breeding, here we are in the Hunter, and... it's Scone, the horse capital, and let's face it, all our breeding, well, most of our breeding is tailored towards sprint races, and the programming is that way accordingly. So
I suppose, though, if you start to lose a few more like Very Elegant, you might have to look at maybe trying to introduce a few more races.
It's an interesting issue. I wonder if, you know, this will perhaps entice some more programming of staying races in Australia, seeing a champion. When we watch a champion like this, the owner's going, well, there's no races here for us.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you never know.
It's basically the Tancred, 2,400 metre weight for age. Yeah. As far as
I'm sure it's concerned. Something they've considered, but they probably just haven't prioritised it. And with Very Elegant, maybe now moving on, they might look at it again and go, well, that's something, there's a hole in the market here. Let's try and, you know, get some more races here so we can keep those staying horses. But, you know, if it's just a one-off and, you know, you're still seeing the best horses race here, I don't know whether there's that appetite, but it might be something that they look to. I know that, you know, well, you'd never say never with Peter Volandis. I mean, you know, if he thinks he can make it work, he'll make it work.
Now, the Racing League deliver Australia's best ownership experience with their horses currently boasting a 31% winning strike rate. Emerging two-year-old Luna Rocks looks to be special. She bolted in last start in town. She's on the way. Well, she's here, the Listed Woodlands Classic tomorrow at the Scone Standalone. And you can still own your share of Luna Rocks. Just go to trl.net. You can buy us at the New South Wales Tycoon 7-horse racing team for just $260. Own today and join the winners at trl.net. Big North London Derby this morning. 3-0 Tottenham leads Arsenal. 3-0. 67 minutes gone. So in the battle for fourth, this means Tottenham would pull to within 1 point of Arsenal. And two games to play after this, but just North London bragging rights. Arsenal fans will be hating this. 3-0, Spurs leading. By the way, Clarkey has just handed me...
Well, I told you yesterday I'd give you some news. I'll give you a bit of an update on the beast.
Is Philly pretty wild? Update from the Chris Waller stable. Had a quiet gallop. This was yesterday you got this, Clark. No, this is on Tuesday. Yep. So she had a quiet gallop. Following her trial last week, her action is good. She's enjoying her work and her fitness levels have improved. She'll have another gallop on Saturday and then either have a jump out on the 17th, similar to a trial, of course, or in fact have an official trial again on the 20th. It'll be depending on weather. etc. So there we go, Clarkey. Following her next trial, she will be ready to head to the races.
There we go.
Now we're talking.
From the 1st of June.
Now we're talking, buddy.
M. Clark at the track, cheering on Pretty Wild is not far away. By the way, we've got Adam Pengilly coming up shortly. He's got to get a flight, but I've got to mention this. I've seen a new high in El Daily's self-guilt.
Oh, what's
had
happened?
A pizza last night. So he's that guilty about it. He's walking around. We're here at the Scone Race Club, by the way, this morning on Daly Scone Cup.
It's going to happen every break too. You know?
And here we are up in the committee room. And Loz is walking around in the news break then to burn off the pizza he had last night.
You've lost it, mate. You need to go and see your local GP.
No.
And you need some medication for what's going on upstairs at
no,
the moment.
No, no, no. I'll tell you what, Michael. I had
what
this,
are you doing?
I had this pizza last night and it just sat in my stomach all night.
Okay.
So when I woke this morning, because I was up and down all last night, I just needed to get out and do some exercise.
No, you need to go to the toilet by the sounds of things.
No, it was. It's just sitting here. So mate. I need to walk. Every break I get, I'm just going to do laps.
Do you feel guilty for eating pizza? You cannot feel guilty for that, surely.
Well, you know what I feel guilty about? I told me that this last night.
What?
Well,
I can't believe
Glenn and
this.
Kill... are
oh,
so
no,
lovely.
No, I know this story. No, no, I know. This part I understand. This part I do understand.
So now you've given me up about the pizza. Glen and Kel are so lovely where we're staying. I didn't know that they did pizzas.
We didn't know they did room service
room
at all,
service,
did you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
I went to Domino's and I bought my pizza back. And I'm eating my pizza and I had the door open and people walking past and Dave Stanley comes by and he goes, oh, you're eating pizza. He said, did you get it here? And I said, oh, no. Do they serve them here? And he said, yeah. He said, they're the best pizzas in the world. I said, mate, I just got Domino's. I feel really bad now. So when I finished eating my pizza, and I had a couple of chicken wings in there as well.
Oh, my God.
I got in my car. I drove up to the main street, found a bin, and put the pizza case in the bin.
You didn't want to leave it in
the
room.
I didn't want to leave it in the room. I didn't want to leave it out the front in case they saw it.
Oh, my God.
And then I would have felt embarrassed.
Do you think you could have said, look, guys, I didn't know. I felt like pizza. I didn't know you guys did pizza, so I went and bought one.
Well,
I think they would have understood.
Well, I got nervous. Because they're such lovely people.
You could have supported local business lots. Yeah. You know, Domino's is worthwhile.
I know. I know. And that's why I feel bad.
$8 billion.
And the pizza just sat with me.
Well, that's
there
karma.
There you go. That is karma.
For
that
not
is
ordering
karma.
Room service.
I know.
No, I think you're fine eating a Domino's pizza in a hotel that does do pizzas for room service. I think that is legal. You're safe there. And the burning, and you should not feel guilty for eating pizza on a Thursday night.
No.
Play on.
Glenn and Kel, they do such a great job. But in particular, they left me a hamper.
They left us all a hamper.
Yeah. So they left me a hamper and a couple of beers.
Very kind.
So here I am eating at another establishment. That's not great.
Oh, mate, I don't think... I reckon you've done worse things.
That's why I didn't want to leave the pizza box out the front of my room. There you go.
So are you running up and down here or just walking
well,
to burn
I can't
calories?
Run, mate. So
oh,
just,
your knee, yeah.
Do a couple of laps around.
Morning, Adam. How are you?
Morning, boys. You've lost the plot, Loz. You've lost the plot.
You've lost the plot, Loz, Adam
What's
says.
That?
Yeah, he has lost it, Pengilly.
Well, Adam, I just felt guilty. I feel guilty, so I've got to walk, and then I feel guilty about ordering the pizza somewhere else when they serve pizza at this lovely hotel we're staying at.
Do you feel guilty when you do 41 in a 40 zone? Because it seems like you feel guilty for everything.
Oh, well, I don't know how my brain works, but I'm a weird person at times, all right?
And by the way, boys, we found a real reason for very elegant leaving Chris Waller's yard. Clarkey's Phillies had to make room for Clarkey's Phillies.
Yeah, actually, Adam, you know what? It's a very good point. Very good point. It's pretty
know,
wild. Here she comes.
Two.
Look out.
Actually, I met a part owner of your horse last Friday at Wagga, Richard Lavender.
Okay.
Yeah. So I met Richard last week. He was looking for you, and he's very, very excited about the horse. And I said, so is Clarkey. And I did say this. Rich was a big part of why I got involved. I said to him, I tell you what, he's going to have beginner's luck this bloke.
Yeah.
And he goes, I hope so. And I said, I don't. I was I was up front with him. Yeah. I said, I hope you don't have success.
You've been honest the whole time. Don't worry about that.
It's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. I want to ask you firstly, Adam, I know you're heading up to Magic Round, but NRL will spread wealth with clubs and players. Your story under that headline on the back page of the Herald today. So are the players set to get a bump?
Yep, they are, certainly are, Jared. The NRL held a conference with the chief executives up there in Brisbane yesterday, just on the eve of Magic Round, and discussed a few, I suppose, financial projections for the code for the next few years. And we know that they haven't sort of nailed down a salary cap figure as such yet. They've got those delicate sort of CBA talks with the players' union coming up in the next couple of months. But all the indications are that they will be getting a significant rise on club grants and salary caps. So I'd imagine the salary cap will probably fall roughly around that $10 million mark next year from the start of the next broadcast cycle. And no doubt the players will cash in, and the clubs will get a bit of a bump up in their club funding as well. So, yep, that was sort of the main news coming out of that chief executive conference in Brisbane yesterday.
Can I ask, Adam, did they discuss the transfer window at all, which has always been bubbling along in the background?
Yeah, not to my knowledge, Loz. Yep. I don't think so. I know Andrew Abdo's been on the record in the past discussing, saying he thinks there needs to be some sort of solution to try and tidy it up. You just see this week, for example, alone, just look at the press, Loz, this week, and it is just dominated by contract stories for players. They're not off contracts at the end of 2023. I know some people like it, some people don't like it. When you talk about the likes of, you know, Cameron Munster, and now we're starting to talk about Stephen Crichton and Brian To'o and Liam Martin and all these guys, like, these guys have still got contracts for at least another 18 months.
And you know what it can do? It causes instability.
Yes,
in
no
clubs.
Doubt. Yeah. No doubt. And this is going to be an issue, I'd imagine, for Penrith primarily for the next probably 4 or 5 months, given that they've got a few guys that are off contract in Crichton, To'o, Isaac Tago and Liam Martin, who are all going to command significant money, and Penrith are going to be desperately trying to nail them down before November 1, but I can't imagine they're going to get any close to a deal anytime soon in the next 2 or 3 months. So this is just going to keep going on and on, isn't it? And we've seen already the Munster situation now. That's been bubbling away for the last month or two. Again, he's a guy who's not off contract at the end of 2023. So I don't know what you guys think, but I think there's got to be some sort of better solution that we've got to work out.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's not going to matter, though, is it, Adam? Like, at the end of the day, this is where the player's in such a predicament, because he can sit there and say, look, I've got until 2023. I'm not going to make comment on this. Yet every time he goes to a press conference, the media's going to ask the same question.
Yeah.
So what do you do as a player in that situation? I've told you. I've said the same thing last week. And when you're a big fish, like Cameron Munster, he's got to do media every week. So you get sick of hearing the same answer as a fan, but what's he meant to do?
Yeah, I don't know, Clark. I'll give you the best example. I follow the European soccer fairly closely, and they have defined trade window periods. Obviously, one in January for the middle of their seasons, and then one at the end of the year, obviously, over their European summer. But if you read the in particular, the British newspapers, you know, throughout October, November, December, even though players can't sign for another club and leave until January, the papers are just completely filled with transfer gossip and speculation. So I tend to think that in some respects, it's not going to stop the talks and the underground talks in the NRL, if we do have some sort of defined transfer period. But the one thing I just cannot cop is when players sign 12 months in advance for another club and then play out another season with their current club. Like, that's just, to me, is an absolutely horrible look. How we fix it, listen, I still don't have it. I don't know if it's a perfect solution, but I still think the fans get a raw deal in that respect.
Yeah. What about the Blues, mate? A few injuries of late. How important are the next couple of weeks for some of these major positions in the New South Wales squad?
Yeah, I just got a feeling, Clarkie, that this weekend at Magic Round is going to be so crucial for that centre spot for Latrell Mitchell there, given that Stephen Crichton and Katoni Staggs are probably top of that list. Huge weekend for both of those guys. Katoni Staggs coming out as Manly tonight, and obviously Stephen Crichton against Melbourne there tomorrow night is a massive game, top of the table clash. I reckon Brad Fittler will be probably really sort of honing his focus now on what he's going to do. He's a little bit coy sometimes, Freddie, with how he goes about his selections. He sort of says, I don't try and pick my team too early. I try and wait till the last minute. But he would have in his mind somewhere the pecking order for that left-centre spot for the Blues. I saw Tommy Turbo come out in the News Limited papers today saying that he thinks Katoni Staggs is probably a guy who potentially might have his nose in front. But the one area I want to chat to you about, Lodge, very briefly, is what is Freddie going to do on the edge-back rowers? Because I think New South Wales is really a little bit thin at the moment for second rowers. Obviously, Cameron Murray's going to miss the first Origin game now. Liam Martin, you think, would be one of those guys they're going to include. But do they go back to a Tarik Sims again? Is it time for Keon Kolomatangi to get a game? Is Tyson Frizzell in good enough form to be recalled to the Blues? I don't know. I think that's probably the one area that Freddie might be a little bit concerned about.
Yeah, I think he might go with a couple of experienced guys. I think you've got Liam Martin there and that Penrith connection. He's playing really well. I think the fact that Crichton and Sims were there last year, I think he'll lean on their experience. You've got Tyson Frizzell, who hasn't played the last couple of weeks, but if he can get going and Newcastle can win a few games, he might come back into the frame. I doubt whether he would... Well, I'm assuming, you know, with Kaloa Matangi and, say, an Ola Katao from Manly, I don't think he'd select both of them at the one time. Mm. I think he'd pick one or the other and then maybe go with, you know, two experienced guys and, you know, either one of those young guys start or come off the bench. But I think he would look for that experienced player before he'd look at two youngsters. Because I think that, you know, he'll rely on the fact that they've been there before. They know what State of Origin's about. And, you know, you put Tarek Sims, Angus Crichton, Tyson Frizzell back in and around a good group of players. I don't think they're going to let you down.
Yeah, I think Tarek Sims in particular, a lot of people might have questioned his form of the Dragons last 18 months or 2 years, but we saw in last year's series, he grew a leg in last year's series. He was enormous for the Blues on that edge, and that was going to be a problematic spot from again that left back row edge spot, and he was great. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Freddie go back to Tarek Sims and include him somewhere in the squad. And to be honest, I think the rest of the team almost picks itself, doesn't it, Loz?
Yeah, I think so. The one for me, though, Adam, is Matt Burton. I think they've got to find a spot for him somewhere. I just love
14,
him as a player.
Surely 14
either 14 or as a left centre.
Yeah. Options at 14 are ridiculous.
Yeah, they are. They've got plenty of options.
Yeah, maybe him or Nico Hines for 14, you'd think, are probably the front runners at this stage. But I wouldn't.
What about
Whiten
as well, though?
Where's
he gone?
Lucky. I don't know. I wouldn't rule him out either. Obviously, the suspension has come at a really bad time, but he's missing a few weeks, which is not going to help his cause. But I actually thought his form for 6 or 7 weeks, given how badly Canberra struggled, I thought he's been enormous. So he's got to be in the mix there somewhere as well.
Well, hang on. Hang on here.
I'm spooking him.
Yeah, you're spooking him.
I've got your son's back. Don't worry.
You got his back now.
Well, you know, somebody, and again...
You're bagging him. No. And now you got his back.
I'm only bagging him because he's your favourite. Listen, somebody said it, one of our callers said it the other day, and I don't think we talk about it enough. His defence is unbelievable. And again, you watch certain players throughout the year and you see them set up tries, amazing kick, great pass, you know, or the aggressive, the attacking play. But you know better than anyone, Loz, that defence in Origin is so important. You hear everyone when they talk about Jack, they say his defence is unbelievable. Yeah. So, and he hasn't, I know the Raiders are not playing great, but he's been playing good footy this year.
Yeah, he has. Look, I think people remember he had a... Which is the Origin game he played as a centre and...
Yeah, 2020.
Was it 2020?
It was the
And that sticks in people's mind.
It was he and Gutherson were in the centre.
That performance sticks in a lot of people's mind. But being one defender in, playing as a 5-8, you play him in the back row. You play him anywhere, Jack. But Burton, you could do the same. Nico Hines, though, gives you that cover for... Hooker, half.
Fullback.
Like those key positions.
And he's in great form.
And he's in good form. So that's going to be hard to deny. Someone that can play those key positions as well as what he can.
Your name's not being called over the intercom, I hope, there at the airport, Adam.
Almost, Jared. I remember that you had Gowie on air one time, didn't you? And his name was being called, wasn't it?
He just said to you.
Well, if you have to go, just leave us. But in the meantime, very elegant. Can you take us through this huge decision by the ownership group to send it to France?
Massive call, wasn't it, Jared, last night? Caught me by surprise, to be fair. And I haven't made too many phone calls on it last night, to tell you the truth. Chris Wall obviously put out that statement a little while ago saying that they were going to try and freshen her up and get her ready for the spring. But obviously the owners are insistent on taking her to Europe to try and campaign towards the Arc de Triomphe. So I can only assume that there's been a massive push from the owners to try and take her over there, and that's the reason she's going to leave Australia. But yeah, quite stunning news, wasn't it? The one thing I do hope, Jared, and I do understand the owners saying there's not a whole lot of, you know, staying weight for age races. It's basically the Tancred in the autumn, and that's really it, 2,400 metres plus at weight for age. So I can understand the options are limited in Australia. I'm so hopeful, Jared, they don't go on too long with her. I hate seeing a champion's legacy being ruined by racing on one campaign or two campaigns too long. And that might be my little bit of a fear with her. But anyway, we'll see how she goes. I'll be the first one cheering her over there when she gets to Europe.
And Eduardo's in the Everest once again.
Yeah, no surprise, was it, Jared? We've had Marzu locked in this week by Arrowfield and the Star. And given the fact there's not a whole lot of top-line options at the moment, this is the time where the slot holder's usually sort of moving and shaking and doing their deal. So Eduardo's a natural choice. Joe Pryor can just plan his whole campaign for the spring around the Everest now, and I'm sure we better leave, have him locked in for that race.
All right, give us your tip. It's Scone. Is it today or tomorrow?
No, tomorrow. Tomorrow. You've got Luna Rocks in tomorrow, Loz, don't you, in the Woodlands?
We do, Adam.
Yeah,
yes.
I actually like another horse in that race at odds. Race 4, number 16, Mills for the Hawks stable. I thought she was well backed on debut on Boxing Day in her only start so far in a race that included Russian Conquest. I thought her trials this campaign have been pretty good. I just think a horse that's fresh on the scene, hasn't been bogged down by these wet tracks of late, first up for the Hawks, and thrown in the deep end. They don't usually do this. So she's obviously got a lot of ability. I'm willing to stick with her at the each-way price. That's race 4, number 16, Mills. Add a bit of each-way value in the Woodland Stakes that's going tomorrow.
Wow, great price. $16 the win, $4.40 the place. Adam Pengilly's value bet tomorrow it's going. Tomorrow, race 4, number 16, Mills for Team Hawks. Mate, don't miss that plane.
Flight's about to go, boys. I better go.
Yeah, mate, Adam Pengilly there.
Business class, mate. He doesn't need to
Sydney
rush.
From the Boarding Herald, straight out of the lounge.
Yeah,
too.
He can just be last on there.
Scrambled eggs up in the lounge there.
Last on, first off, Pengilly flying.
How good.
That's why we had to drop him at West. He was living the high life, and we had to keep his feet on the ground.
How'd he get rid of him?
Had to put him back to twos, back in second grade, just to keep his feet on the ground. Now look at him.
He's flying that kid.
Multi-millionaire because of our decision.
You ruined
his
dream.
Mate, I saved his life.
You ruined his dream.
Are you joking? Look how much better his life is now rather than being a cricketer like me. He's blessed.
He'd probably still be in the IPL. yeah, good race this Woodlands tomorrow. We're here at Scone Race Club, by the way, and as the sun, well, it's not the sun coming up, but certainly the...
Bit of fog around, Middo.
A lot of fog, but getting lighter, and isn't it a beautiful track? This is one of the picturesque tracks in New South Wales, Scone. If you haven't been here, it is a good place to watch racing as any because the grass area just next to the track, it elevates. So you can see the whole track. It is a beautiful spot. The Upper Hunter, I think it's probably my favourite country race venue, actually, to be honest, anywhere.
Don't say that in front of Loz.
I know.
Last weekend was hard to beat. You dare put Wagga down in any way, you'll rip you.
Clarke, you should have seen us trying to get out of the course.
Yeah, mate.
It was unbelievable.
I can't deal with it. Honestly, I can't be around it. Like anybody else, primary school teachers.
You know, like, I don't know.
People get a little bit of that celebrity feel and they try to avoid it. Like you try and wear a cap or sunnies or walk with your head down. Loz is yelling, "G'day, mate! Loz is here! Oh, here I am, here I am."
The more noise you make, the more people look and they go, "Who's that?" Oh, right. It's an old trick I've got. Right. I learned it many years ago.
All right, we've got the Sticky Wings multi, Loz. Here we go.
Righty-o.
What have you got for us?
Well, we're going early. All right, we're going to race one at Flemington tomorrow. All right, so we're going race one, number six, and that horse is Duel to Win. All right, Duel to Win, our first starter from the Anthony and Sam Friedman stable. So race one, number six. And then we're up here at Scone, the mighty Scone. We're going race six, number 13, I Am Me. All right, and I Am Me to finish top two. And if you think I Am Me, you think she can run top two. And Duel, if you think he can win, that's paying $9, thanks to our great mates at Sticky Wings.
$9.
There you go.
On the app, under sport and today's offers, there it is. The Big Sports Breakfast Best, courtesy of Sticky Wings. North London Derby this morning in the Premier League, Tottenham 3, Arsenal 0. And the goal scorers, well, guess who? Harry Kane with a double and Son Heung-min in the second half as well. So 3-0. Arsenal had holding sent off for a second yellow card in the first half. So Spurs pull within 1 point of Arsenal in the race for the top four with two games remaining. Just on the text line, we're here at Scone Race Club, beautiful Scone Race Club this morning on Darley Scone Cup Day. Now, this text, morning gents, enjoying the show, bringing up a bus full of my son's punters syndicate for the day. Pity I'm not staying to see Luna Rocks run on Saturday. Hope to track you down today. Happy punting, Bowie from Newey, with a bus full of his son's punters syndicate.
Oh, how good. That sounds like a big day, Bowie. That will be a big day.
Big day. Now, Jamie Rogers, good morning to you. How are you?
Good morning, guys, and good morning to all of our listeners. How is Scone, boys?
As good as it always is, JR.
Jamie, yeah. Beautiful. Warmer than expected, Jamie, I've got to say. I woke up this morning thinking it's going to be freezing because there's a bit of rain around as well, but it's actually, it's not that cold at all.
No, it's 17 degrees outside.
Yeah, and it's normally freezing. They're normally dressed in big coats. And
well, last year, I think it was really cold when we were here. Mm. And Wagga was quite cold the other day as well. But, no, it was... Even last night was... Wasn't that cold, was it?
Yeah.
Lozza, I've just been looking at your multi.
Yeah, what do you think of it?
Look, great. $9 is obviously awesome value. Can you just talk us through Dual?
Yep, flying doormat.
So why Dual?
Why?
Yeah.
First starter?
Yeah, why?
And just untried, because it hasn't had a trial or anything going into this race. So I just was wondering if you'd heard something or...
Can't divulge any information.
Yeah, well, I saw that and I thought, with two-year-olds, I always like to have just seen them at the race. So I thought, at trial or at least at the race or something, I thought, oh, maybe you
just a
little whisper of something?
No, just a guess.
A source said?
Just a guess.
Definitely a source
said. I'm just one of these people that, you know...
Goes with his gut.
Go with my gut when I look at the fields.
On and off the field.
Mm. Well, give it strength. $9. Love it.
Go the flying doormat.
And, boys, I know you were just speaking about this with Adam Pengilly earlier, but I just was really surprised to see that Very Elegant is set to continue a career in France under leading trainer of Francis-Henri Graffard. And I guess this is just to accommodate those overseas ambitions by her ownership, who have all said that they wanted her to be aimed at the arc, and then there was a turnaround where Wallace said, actually, no, she wasn't going to go, and now it looks like that obviously is going to happen because she's going to go and change trainers. And Chris Waller had said that in order for her to be able to race against the best days in the world, she needs to be trained abroad. So it's going to be sad to see her go. She's won nearly $15 million in prize money. She's won 11 Group 1s. And it's sad to see her leave Australian racing. But as you guys have mentioned, the staying races are a lot bigger over there. So good luck to her and all the ownership group.
Superstar. Yeah, she'll be missed, no doubt about that, but love to see her win an Arc de Triomphe. Oh. But what else is going on, JR?
Boys, and also just Eduardo has been selected to run in Yulong Investments Tab Everest slot, third time that he'll be in that race, and he's joined defending champ. So Nature Strip's already selected. Max Whitby has chosen Masked Crusader, Marzu. So the Tab Everest is now starting to fill up, and it's always exciting when you get to hear which slot owners pick which horses. And boys, just quickly, in the NBA, we saw some interesting scenes yesterday in terms of the Memphis Grizzlies. So they were fighting off elimination, and they ended up with the highest scoring performance in their franchise postseason history. So they've now forced a game 6 in that Western Conference semi-final. That will be tomorrow back in San Fran. So the Warriors have won 5 straight playoff games in their last 7 overall when they do go home. But those Memphis Grizzlies, they're underdogs, and they just continue to keep fighting and holding on. And Philly are up against Miami today at 9 a.m. where the Heat will look to close out their series. And it's just interesting, Jared, I know how much you love James Harden, but it's just
his favorite.
It's his favorite, and it's just it's a tough one. Well, because it's hard, because you can see that Joel Embiid is clearly just not right. He's got a broken face, a thumb injury, and he needs someone to help him. And you saw that in game 4, James Harden was great. Game 5, he was terrible. And in my head, I thought, well, that's all pretty predictable. So hopefully he can sort of step up and actually help out. But I think Embiid is actually still questionable for today's game.
Okay, Philly $1.73, Miami $2.15, tipping off at 9 o'clock this morning. We'll talk about that. And I'll tell you what, thanks so much, JR. This next guest, our Friday morning regular. I don't know, he's been to bed for 2 days. Morning, Brad.
It's not a dream, boys. Good morning.
Mate, how was it? Take us through your Wednesday night.
Oh, God, it's still get sweaty palms to think about it. It was absolutely brilliant. You know, first off, Tasmania Jack Jumpers, what an outstanding season, what an outstanding grand final series. They gave it everything. But unfortunately, they were just beaten by a quality side that was just, it was their time. And even though Jalen Adams went down injured, I thought they were absolutely fantastic. And Xavier Cooks, who got the Larry Sinstock Medal as MVP of the grand final series, he was outstanding. Jarrell Martin, Ian Clark, DJ Vasiljevic, it was just unbelievable. What a great, great game.
Brad, amazing when you look back to the start of the season. The Kings were under the pump, weren't playing well, a lot of injuries. And even like our chat, I think as much you're obviously King tragic and will always support them, but even you were like, geez, I don't know how we're going to go this year. Amazing turnaround. And yeah, I know they got some players back, but brilliant coaching as well. You've got to say, the way they grew or they built momentum throughout the season and then come finals, just... in their prime, ready for it.
you just, you know, you're always, as a coach and a club, what does everyone say? We're peaking for the right time.
Yeah.
You just want to peak. And they peaked amazingly. And yes, there was questions, you know, like this is a team that is not extremely big, when I say like tall and massive. I mean, obviously, as the normal person they are, but just not that big. And is it going to work? And Jarrell Martin and Xavier Cooks in the 4-5, and then Jalen Adams, well, he's not playing real well. Then he was out. Is this thing? And the next thing you know, 13 game win streak, MVP, they get for this league. He does his hamstring. Oh no, doesn't matter. We'll just win the next two games. Like, just every adversity they face, they turned around. And that starts from the top, Clarky. We all know that. You know, you've got to give, you know, to Paul Smith, Chris Pongrass, who's the CEO there, and, you know, what they've done, they built this team, they stuck to their guns, and they said, Chase is our man, Jalen's our man, and they were. They did a great job.
You're talking about the Kings building their squad, Brad, but how many of these players will move on at the end of, now after the season is finished? Because there has been some talk about a few of them possibly playing over there in America. Do you think that's possible, that a few of 100%. Them may get targeted by the NBA?
100%. The first two is obviously Jalen Adams and Ian Clark. These guys have played NBA before, and they've done everything they possibly could to put their stocks up. Jalen Adams wins MVP of the season. Ian Clark, well, he was phenomenal on Friday, and he just showed how classy he was. So a bit of me says I'd be shocked if they're actually back, both of them. They're going to get thrown a lot of money, a lot of options, and I couldn't see it happening. But please God, for the Kings. Then you look at, you know, Chase Buford. Look, he has signed a three-year deal. But he's done a great job. His pedigree is the NBA. Will he be back? Xavier Cooks, I'm calling him the Dennis Rodman of the NBL. The guy's a freak. He's an absolute beast the way he plays. There's teams in the NBA who look at him and go, should we give him a shot? So, you know, you take those three players out, massive difference. But it'll be a very interesting and quick off-season, because the season starts in October. It's back to normal now because of COVID restrictions being over.
Where's the NBL sit now, buddy? Like, again, I think in and around advertisement, what a fantastic year. I feel like basketball is being spoken about a lot now in this country, which is how it should be, how it used to be. Jack Jumpers come in and are flying. I think that helps.
Yep.
Does the NBL, are they ready for another Sydney team? Are they ready for a Canberra team? What do they do now to make sure the sport continues heading in this direction?
Yeah, it's a great question. And when you look at Larry Kesselman, I mean, this league was on its knees, and what this guy's been able to do to take it to where it is unbelievable. So for like everything they've done, they tick every box. I'd be shocked if there's not another team in Canberra. I think that's an outstanding option. Everything they do is good, and what Larry and his team does is make sure it's viable, like what they did in Tasmania. They don't just put a team there, they get the government to back it, they get some land, they make sure this thing is not a 2 or 3 year exercise and then they're back to square one. I think they'll do the same thing for Canberra. With regards to a Sydney team, you can't put it out. I mean, there's enough people here to have two Sydney teams. As an ex-player that saw two Sydney teams before, that's a tough gig, because you sometimes can split the crowd and you don't want to do that. You want it to be one team, one city, but nothing they do is wrong, and I'm looking forward to it. You know they're going to keep growing.
Well, you've got an ambassador for the Canberra franchise, for sure.
No, only if they win. Don't worry, he'll go for the Canberra team, but jump off quick smart. Yeah.
For life.
Oh, you're telling me you were a king 3 minutes ago.
No, I've never been a king.
Oh, mate, we just won the GF. You're a king.
Come on, what are you now? Loza.
Well, I'm a king now.
Yeah.
What I mean, I know. Well, no, let me rephrase that. I've always been a Kennan.
Oh, my God.
I was always a Kennan.
A loose cannon.
Yeah, and then the last 17 years, I've sort of been on and off, and then I thought, you know what, I'm going to get into basketball this year. The Kings are my side.
You're unbelievable.
And what happened? They ended up winning the competition.
Unbelievable.
So, but soon as the Kennons come back in, I'm back on the Kennons.
Thank God we can mute that last minute out. You are a Sydney Kings fan, Lozano.
Yes, I am a Kings man. I am a Kings man. Until the Kennons come in.
Well, overall, it was another great season, and obviously we're in the back end of the NBA season, right at the back end with the playoffs, and that game yesterday, Milwaukee 110-107 against the Celtics, 3-2 up, winning in Boston. Is it all over, or can the Celtics send it to Game 7?
Oh, look, I can't see it happening. The Bucks, that was just phenomenal to be able to do that without Chris Middleton. The Greek Freak was unbelievable, and Boston blew it, really. They had that game won. They should have won it. But you just got to give, you know, homage to the bucks. That's a championship quality team, and I'm still in the same position where I still think it will be Phoenix and Bucks coming into that NBA Finals.
Wow. So these games today, the 76ers up against the Miami Heat, 9 a.m. tip-off this morning with the Sixers at home trying to send it to a Game 7 back in Miami. And Dallas have been plucky. I probably thought Phoenix would have wrapped up this series by now, but you're obviously expecting the Suns to go through. But how does this Heat-Sixers series play out from here?
Hasn't it been great? Just like all, and you know, you got in the back of your mind the Ben Simmons and James Harden trade and everything that's gone on. And it's just like, it's us against the world when you think of the Philadelphia 76ers. But no, Miami to win today, they'll get them at home, and that'll be the 76ers season done. Oh.
Did the MVP go to the right player, Brad?
Look, you know, I sat there and everyone asked me that. Is it Joel Embiid? I don't think there's an argument that you could say for, but like, that would make me think either was wrong. I'm saying yes, I'm happy with it. I think it's fine. But if it went to Embiid, I wouldn't have been disappointed in that either, because I think they both had amazing seasons.
It was Nikola Jokic from Denver. So he's won it.
Sorry, Jokic, yes. Oh, man. Mm. Between him and Luka Doncic, I get those always the names confused, but not the players, that's for sure. But yeah, Nick, look, he's done a fantastic job, and that's his second MVP, and it's well deserved.
Oh, I just reckon the most valuable player, it's Giannis, isn't it? He is the most valuable player in the NBA right now, wouldn't you say, Brad?
Yeah, and this is where, you know,
if you took him out of that team, it'd collapse. Yeah, that's how valuable he is.
There's always been questions about this, you know, sometimes it's just who you like more, you know, and that's not really, I mean, I could argue LeBron should probably have another 7 of them. You know, like, you take him out of the teams when he went into, I think it was 8 or 9 NBA finals in a row. Like, it didn't matter what team he played for, whether it would be Miami, whether it be Cleveland, whether it be Lakers. He was going into NBA finals every single year. That's the most valuable player. Everywhere he went, he carried a team. But he didn't get them because you had guys like, you know, Russell Westbrook and James Harden winning it on the back of, you know, scoring more points, basically.
Well, mate, you've been fantastic throughout the NBL season. We're still going to get your NBA playoff views for the next few weeks, but go and celebrate that Kings triumph.
Oh, it was great. And thanks, guys. Had an absolute ball with you guys this year. And thanks for everyone for listening. Remember, we're back next year. Go those Kings!
Good on you, Brad. Okay, now, Ali Mosley coming up shortly, but Lozza, courtesy of Sticky Wings, the multi for Scone, or... You've got, I think, a Scone and a Flemington runner, don't you?
We do, Middo. We're going early at Flemington. We're going race 1, number 6, Duel to win. So I reckon Duel has been named after Bruce Duel, the former Carlton defender, known as the Flying Doormat. So I reckon that's Duel to win. Then we're going Scone, race 6, number 13, I Am Me, to finish top 2. And if she can finish top 2, that's paying $9. There we go.
$9.
$9.
Tab website.
I wonder if Ali likes it.
Click on sport and today's offers.
We'll ask.
Mm. Jamie didn't like it.
No, Jamie didn't like it.
She was off you straight away.
Yeah, no.
Fair question, though, from Jamie.
You just got to trust me.
Oh, easy said.
Just got to trust me. History. Belief.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You never go into a game thinking you can't win.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. If Ali's with you, then I feel like, okay. But if you've got both women against you, you're in deep trouble.
Well, that's always
fire
going on in my life. Women against me. My 2 daughters and my wife.
You would win
not
nothing.
Supportive.
You wouldn't win a thing.
Never. Never.
Yeah.
That's why he's such a good husband, though. Because he just learned to just give in.
Is he a good
you know
husband?
What?
Yeah, his wife brags about him all the time.
I'll tell you what I do. I can't.
Just know you're losing
argue
from the
anymore.
Start.
So,
yeah.
So I reckon the last probably 10 years, 12 years, it's just been, righto.
Yeah. I'd marry as well. If you said that to me, I'd marry her.
Yeah, no. I can't be bothered. Can't be bothered having an argument anymore.
We need a community service text message here. Hi, Loz. I'm a couple of years younger than you and never done gym work. You talk about it lots and you look great. Mm. So I'm going to try it. How often do you go and what are the main exercises?
Inspiring. He's still inspiring,
Unfortunately,
daily.
Unfortunately, no name to that one. So
well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what I'll do. I am going to post.
Your workout.
I'll post my workout.
Yes.
All right. And then if people want to follow it, they can. But I go. So I go. I go definitely 5 days, and sometimes I'll go 6, depending on if I get guilty or not.
which as we're learning, yeah, more and more you
and
do.
And then if
guilty.
It's summer, I always go just before I get to the pub, and I like to do curls because I like to wear the singlet to the pub or the muscle shirt.
Oh my God. How's that for your training advice? Yeah.
So it's just beaches, you know, the beach curls. That's all you do. Just on the Saturday morning. And then you walk into the pub.
Yourself up.
And you get all the boys.
He goes to the gym in pub prep. It's his pub prep. People go shower, shave, put your gear up. Loz's like, no, I've got to go gym. Bicep curls right now. I'm pub ready.
Push up bicep curls. Push up bicep curls. Push up bicep curls. And then I'm ready. Strut around.
Listening to this is Ali Mosley from Sky. Ali, good morning to you. How are you?
I think I got lost somewhere along the way there.
Don't worry, we've been lost for a long time, Ali.
I'm not even sure what was going on there for a little while.
Just a gym routine on a Saturday morning, Ali.
Dearie me.
Just before I get to the local pub.
Have you seen Loz's multi, Ali?
No, I haven't as yet. What's it looking like?
Well, Loz has done. You've gone to Flemington.
You're
so I'm
Flemington.
Not sure.
No, you wouldn't have done the form down there.
First starter.
I am me, top two in. What race is that?
Race six.
Race six tomorrow, isn't it?
Yep.
Race six going tomorrow. I am me, top two.
Did you get much value there, Loz? Isn't it about $3.50?
Yes. we got $9 though, Ali. $9. So one to win and one to place. So
yeah. I'll tell you what then, that ain't bad.
There you go.
See, I like that.
She likes it, Loz.
Ali knows the stuff.
Okay.
I thought you'd I didn't actually think you'd get that much value there.
Dicko looks after me. He's a great man, Dicko.
When you turn up at Dicko's house and put a gun beside his head at 3 o'clock in the morning, he's going to do as he's told, Ali.
You threaten his employment. Yeah.
Loz gets whatever he wants.
Ali, unbelievable news last night in regard to Very Elegant. What have you made of it all? Heading to France to be trained.
I'm not even really sure what to think of it, to be honest. I get the feeling there was maybe... I mean, I dare not sort of get involved in matters that I've got nothing to do with. But, you know, when there's a big ownership group, maybe decisions aren't always unanimous, perhaps. And, you know, you never know if all the owners wanted her to do that or if, you know, it might have been more of a majority shareholder decision. I think it's obviously disappointing for all of us. We won't get to see her again, but... and for Chris Waller. And so, I mean, for someone who loves Australian racing, I think it's a bit of a disappointment because we won't get to see her again, but at least we do get to see her race again. So I suppose there's positives in everything. And if she comes out and wins, I think someone said the other day that she would be the first, what would she be by then, seven-year-old mare to win the race. So it would be the most incredible feat. And I suppose on a world stage it would show how fantastic she is and that she truly is a champion. So in that sense, I suppose if she could come out and do that with a new trainer, it would prove to everyone just how bloody good she is.
Yeah, I'd love to see her go and win an arc, wouldn't we? Today's Scone Cup, Ali. Race 8 on the card. Big field, $4.80 the field. Rustic Steel holding the call. Dr. Drill, plenty of fans for it at $5.50. Won the race 2 years ago. Kerwin's Lane, $6.50. Plenty in the market here, though. Is there one that you've leaned on here in the Scone Cup this afternoon?
I think, do you know what I like about this meeting? There's so much value across the 2 days. So there's nothing... it's one of those meetings. The last few weeks it's been really tricky, and I feel like the favourites have on form looked really hard to beat. And I think in this there's a lot of value outside of them. So I like a tissue, and I know she's a tough one to catch because she does the wrong thing so often. As we know, she's a barrier rogue. So I think she had a string of about 3 times where she either didn't leave the barriers or read in the barriers. Last time she started at Hawkesbury in the Hawkesbury Cup, she did leave the barriers and it was a massive run. So I think what would be more frustrating for the team is that she's got so much talent and ability and she just isn't putting it together. But I think we saw what her potential is. Last time out when she was third, she dashed home up what was arguably not the best part of the track. So I think it's a value of tissue. If she can do the right thing and not be naughty with a lighter weight, might be one to watch at the $11 quote there in the cup.
Yeah, $12.370 the place. So a tissue, number 7 in the Darley Scone Cup today, race 8. And what about your best bet overall, Ali?
Oh, today or across the program?
Across the program.
Oh, I have got so we do a little show called Black Bookers on Thursday with Ben Way, and we had so many of our Black Book horses come up this weekend. So I've found it really hard. I love Sacramento, and I've loved him the whole way through. So he goes around tomorrow. So I'll put Sacramento in, and then there's another one that I really like. So In Secret. So I'll say Sacramento as my best. And then I also really like In Secret. I'm just trying to see what race that actually
is. Yeah, that's race four.
Race number. Race four. Okay, yeah. So In Secret, I think, is a really, really big chance. And I think still a little bit of value as well. So I'll say In Secret and Sacramento as my two best.
Okay, so Sacramento tomorrow, which you tipped for our listeners last time, is race five, number 11, and it's $4 in favourite. And In Secret is in race four, the Woodlands, which is the Lunar Rocks race. And In Secret's the $3.30 favourite. And in that race, Adam Pengilly likes Mills, number 16, which is a $16 chance. It's his value play as well. But Ali's with was In Nick, Secret.
Was Mr. Value there with In Secret as well? I knew a few people, someone who maybe was in my house too, who likes In Secret. So I think was a bit more value outside of that. But, gee, that's short now, isn't it?
I'm not going to lie. I backed it all in earlier in the week, so I apologise to everyone who took the price.
You've knocked the price off. Yeah. No shame.
No, don't worry. He's carrying a lot of weight now. But good on you, Ali. Thanks so much. Enjoy your Scone Carnival.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great time.